there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
We get to talk about maturity today. Ironic! Before we start, I have to get this out, and it's not significant. Oh, that's significant to me. I just said mature. Who says it like that versus mature? Let me see the mature hands. Okay, let me see the mature hands. Here's my issue. I've changed. Forever and ever, it's mature. And then it was mature. And then recently, guys, this was this year. Somebody was like, man, you like to be outdoors and you like to hunt and fish, and that's great. That's great that you love nature. And it ruined me. I gotta go back. I gotta go back, because you don't say nature. Right? I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. That's just real for me. So today we're going to talk about what it means to be mature in Christ. And you can be mature about it or not, however you want to look at it. So that is our topic for today. The idea behind it, regardless of how you say it, is what has God called humanity to be? And what does he say that a person of maturity is? And before we dive through that, I just want to throw a word out there for you to chew on to think about today. That's like a swap of what the word actually means. And so every time you see mature, mature, today I want you to think wellness and wholeness. That which is complete, which could be described as peace, okay? So every time you hear the word, regardless of what we're talking about, the application is, to what degree are you well? Whole, full, complete, which is the definition of peace. Peace, the idea called shalom, is that which was separated or broken that has been restored to wholeness and completeness. The measure, the amount, the degree, the experience, or the actualization of wellness, wholeness, and completeness is the picture behind the idea of maturity. Okay? I was having a conversation with our worship leader, Drew, backstage here just a second ago, and every time I had heard maturity up to this point, in practical application, it had felt like, oh, the people that just have it all together. Really smart. They don't laugh at anything. Nothing's fun, right? Because they're more mature than that. And in realization, I'm like, I don't want to be that, if that's what it means, right? I want to be a person that laughs and has fun and thinks things are funny, but that's not what the definition is. The definition is not being stick in the mud and call that maturity. Definition is, what does it mean to be well and whole as it should be, appropriate, restored, new, complete? So when we talk about this today in this series, which we've called One, we're talking about the entirety of the body of Christ, all of the brothers and sisters that God adopts into his family through the truth of Jesus. His invitation for us is that we would be fully whole and well together as described by God and what that means. And we just get to look at the continuation of Ephesians for today and see what he says about that in practical application. What does it mean to be well and whole and okay and not? What is it, a belief? What is it in practice and in action? And that's going to get us to our definition of what maturity is. Okay? Last week, we talked about leadership. This week, we talk about maturity. I want to tie the two together. Leadership that is godly goes first for others like this. That make sense? I'm going to tie the 2 weeks together. So leaders that are godly leaders are those that go first. Some of my favorite definitions. You ask a kindergartner, who's the leader? What do they say? The one who goes first. Right? The one who goes first is the leader. The one that you follow is the leader. So a godly leader is the one that goes first. They lead. They choose to go first. And they do it for other people's sake, in the way that God describes. And so good leaders have maturity when they are Christ-like. Okay? Let's get into the text. So for today, Ephesians chapter 4, almost the entirety of it today is what we're going to work with. but our setup for the entire series and for the summation of this sermon starts in Ephesians 4, verse 1. It says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And verse 2 is significant, even for today's message, but it has been for all. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, making effort to strive. It's work we do, choices we make, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Verse 7 says, but to each one of us, grace or gratitude, joy, life has been given to us as Christ has apportioned it. This week, we're going to jump off from verse 11. We're going to go 11 through the rest of the Bible. See, I have to throw these little interjections in. Yeah, to make sure some of you aren't sleeping. You know who you are. I'm going first. Let's go. Right? Verse 11 through the end of the chapter. It is quite a bit of text here. Here's something I believe. That when you allow the word of God to speak, that we can listen to it and look intently, both communally and individually, there's power in that. There's power in the word of God, there's power in the Spirit of God. And so for today, we're going to read, I will read, you can read along, the rest of the chapter to put it into context of what God is talking about, and then we'll go back and we'll pick it apart, okay? And so I'm going to read it out of this book, actually. So we're going to go chapter 4, verse 11, pick up at 11, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter. And we're going to be listening for what is unifying, what is good, and finding out what maturity is, wholeness and peace, as God describes it. And as God oftentimes does, you're going to see a back and forth, a both and, a positive and negative, an invitation and a warning at the same time. That's how God uses his ability to describe it. We're going to see it in here. Okay, so verse 11. Pick up in verse 11. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, Christ gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men, and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will, in all things, grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, all of us, joined together, held together, and every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. So then I tell you this, I insist on it, in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking, for they are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts, not mind, hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to Christ in that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put it off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not, what? Sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must no longer steal, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only in what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen? That's a lot there. It's really good, though. And so when we look at this, we get to go back and ask ourselves, what does it mean to be a person that's mature? What does it mean for us individually and as a group to be well and whole together, to be completed, to be a person of peace as God has intended it to be? And there's a whole bunch to work with in here, isn't there? Here's my hope for today. As we walk through the text, presence of God and the Spirit of God, which is everywhere he is all the time, in the lives and hearts and minds of believers, that God will highlight some things for us today, for you today, on what it is that he's inviting you to grow in, to change in, to be uplifted in, to become more whole, to have the fullness of the experience of God in your life in, that we would strive and attain to be that. And here's what's amazing, because God's always amazing, is that there's gonna be a lot of things that have the potential to change in our country in about 2-3 days, right? How are you gonna handle it? How are you going to be? How are we going to be? What is the bride of Christ, the church, which is the mechanism in which God brings reality to the world, how are we gonna be? Who are you gonna be? My hope would be that whether it's that topic or any environment you find yourself in, that we would strive collectively to be a people that are this, okay? Let's see what we got. So let's jump back. We're just going to read each little piece again, and we're going to pull apart. So Ephesians starting at 11 says, Christ gave them the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I love this part, and I know this is touched on last week. So the concept of being equipped, it's also the idea of being trained or the idea of being prepared. And whose responsibility does God call into those positions? That was last week leadership, right? Those that do the ministry. And so the purpose, the word equipped, means to mend, render, or to arrange, to make that which is complete, make it as it ought to be. So the goal of us as the church, the body of Christ, is to arrange ourselves appropriately. Because we all have different giftedness and ability, don't we? Yes. Are we to work and function together or by ourselves? What is maturity? By yourself or with others? Yep. With others. You do not have every gift. You do not have every ability. We are to be interdependent on one another. We need each other to be well and whole and healthy and complete, mature. And so the arrangement of how we are to come together collectively matters. God is a God of order. The human body, even of itself, how it's put together and created, works harmoniously with a multitude of systems that all perform different functions. When different parts of the body do not function as they should, the body is unwell, not well. We are the same. So we're to be arranged appropriately based on our giftedness and who we are to do works of service. Work your salvation, earn it, because you're in trouble and you're bad and you don't earn it. And one person was like, that is offensive. It's probably for you. Service, workable service, effort, is using the capacities in which God has given you on purpose. It's what you do. Think of exertion. You're going to use your capacities somewhere, somehow, in some way. Works of service in a mature body is being arranged to use them for the purposes of God. Here's what service actually is. It comes out of the word diakonos, which is the word for deacon. Some of you hear deacon and they go, okay, people that serve and do ministry. Yes, that's kind of where that comes from. But from that word, diakonia, is those whom obey the commands of God and promote belief and practice. Which one of us has that title? Come on. You just preach back to me today. We all do. Because we equip who was the role of those that are called out, each other. We all have the role and the title and the ability to do serviceable works for God. Those that obey the commands of God and promote belief and faith in it. That's every single one of us. A person of wellness, of wholeness, of maturity is one that does that. That listens and trusts God. Promotes belief and faith. To themselves, yeah, and to other people. Equipped for works of service, which leads to, again, there's our word, mature, complete, finished, perfect, lacking nothing, wellness, peaceable. So the church is to arrange itself one to another as a group of people together to promote the faith and belief of the truth and commands of God, which will lead to wellness for all. That's what the church is supposed to be. Come on. Right? Not all the 50,000 versions of all the other stuff that we make it. Now, praise be to Jesus. He doesn't say be perfect. He says trust in the one who is. Amen? That's our goal. To be built up to the full measure, to the attaining of the fullness of Christ, is to be a group of people that will work together, being humble and gentle, speaking truth and love to each other, recognizing that we don't all have it all together, that not any one person is more special than the other, that we collectively work together to be a people to promote the truth of God with the effort in every capacity that we have. Man, that's truth, y'all. That's what the world needs. That's what the chaotic everything that is happening in every space and place is lacking, is a people that say, that's who we are. Now, in application, how many bazillion ways are there to do that well? All of them. But that's the foundation of it. It's a belief that leads to an action, a life that is about that. Let's continue on. Let's jump into verse 14. We're going to get some real practical examples here. I laugh. Did you see my snicker? These just crush me in a good way. That's a smiling crush me. That's a convicting, uplifting, that's so true about me. Oh, that's painful that I do that. Oh, I've really grown there. I'm really happy that I've grown there. Still got some work to do, all the feels and all the things. I hope you see yourself here. Try not to be offended by the word of God, but encouraged and invited to be different, to grow and to change. Verse 14 says, then we will no longer be infants. This is if we work together to grow into maturity, to be people that I just described, then we won't be infants anymore, which are tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. So a person or a people of maturity, I'm going to say both. Maturity. They're not tossed back and forth. People that have a firm and a confident faith, belief, and practice. What do you believe, and why do you believe it? Some of the first pieces that Paul writes here, that Jesus is saying, is a person that has maturity is one that has confidence in their faith. They know why they believe it. They have a firm foundation in which they stand on. Jesus says the storms will come, and they do, right? That those that place their belief and faith, their understanding, their life and practice on him, the rock, and his truth, will stand. A person of maturity is a person that knows what they believe. Do you know what you believe today? Do you know why you believe it? This is the other way to say, do you have a Bible? Do you read it? Do you ask questions about it? Are you interested in it? Do you believe that it's true? A person that lacks wellness and wholeness is a person that doesn't know what they believe. See how that word changed? It's just like, eye opener. Okay. So maturity doesn't mean that I know more than everybody else and I tell them about it, right? And I write books about it and I invite people to sit at my feet and listen to it. That's horrendous, right? That's selfishness and debauchery in some terms. Wellness and wholeness is believing and having a faith in what you think is true. When you have a confidence in Jesus and in what's true, does that bring peace to you? Yeah. And a wellness and a knowledge and a peace that surpasses understanding is that of having a confidence in what you believe is true. The opposite of that is acting as an infant, lacking in maturity. Another version of the definition of maturity is aged as in a full-grown man. And so Paul, on purpose, is using the opposite here, saying the opposite of that, which is like an infant, is unstable, blown to and fro in everything that they do. What's the foundation of our faith and belief that leads to maturity? It's the text right here. It's the word of God, it's the truth of God. And as we're gonna see, it's gonna be collectively with the people of God in practice. Verse 15 says, instead, so if we aren't gonna be that, we're gonna speak the truth in love. We're gonna grow and become in every aspect. We will grow, pause for effect, to become in every respect the mature body of him who is in the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows. It builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So again, as an individual and as a collective, people of maturity. It's getting distracting now. I'm sorry for that. Maturity are people that speak truth how? In love. One of the definitions that I like to use often with my friends and believers and you all is that the greatest level of wellness or maturity is the person that loves the greatest. To the degree in which you love is the degree of maturity that you have. Love who? What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, every capacity that you have, and others as yourself. So there's been times in my life where I've been really good at loving me. Only, first. I lead by loving me. The application of love is with others. Love is a choice. Love is a verb. Love is an action that is intended to be selfless and others-focused. Leaders go first for the benefit of others. The greatest love and lover of all time is Jesus. The greatest love is that which lays its life down for another, not expecting anything in return. A person that has grown up with wellness and wholeness and peace is a person that is confident and is willing to love well. And how do we love well? We speak that which is true to other people. Now, some of us are like, yes, I pull out my hammer of truth. That's my favorite verse in the Bible. Speak truth to people. And then when I speak truth, that's loving. I might disagree with you on that, depending on the context. That's okay. We can disagree. But just speaking truth does not only mean loving. I can speak truth and destroy you. Right? Some of us are super good at that. We got the degree. I'm a truth speaker, and I have no friends, and I don't love well, and I'm not well, and I'm not mature. I'm not saying it. Paul says it. You can know all things. You can speak in the tongues of angels. You can know all mysteries. If you do not love, you're a clanging, cymbal, noisy, annoyance problem. So he says in Corinthians, if you have not love, you have nothing. You can know all things and speak truth and be a complete opposite of what God invites you to be. We are to speak truth in love. And truth in love is a marker of maturity, right? We will grow to become in every respect mature. So it says speaking truth in love. And there's a question that says, what do you speak? How do you speak it? And from where do you speak it? If you were to ask yourself, what sort of language do you use? Are you speaking truth? Are you speaking positivity? Are you speaking joy? Are you speaking life? Or are you a death dealer? The tongue can be untamable and wicked beyond belief, which can lead to life or death. How do you talk to yourself? How do you talk to others? What do you say? Why do you say it? You can use your language as an instrument of death. Jesus says a person of maturity will use it to give life, to speak hope and truthfulness in love. Both of those things are actionable. But every action, both of those included, stems from where? A belief that begins here. Why do you say what you say? I'll tie it back to Genesis 1 every time. Why do you say what you say? Genesis 2 and 3, the same story of Cain and Abel. Like, what do you believe? Are you fear-based so that you just destroy everybody else out of your fear and brokenness? That you don't speak truth in love, you speak lies to protect yourself or to get back or to get even, trying to find wellness and peace and wholeness in the complete opposite direction of what God invites us. Ah, I said the little snicker was because this is massively convicting. When I'm sideways, I do that. I try to get life by myself by tearing other people down. I'll just make other people feel bad in truth, brother, so that I feel better. And guess how I actually feel after I do it? Horrendous. Weird. I go about trying to find life by giving and finding and dealing death. We're to speak truth in love, which is to be uplifting and beneficial, to build the body of Christ into the wellness and peaceable maturity of who Jesus is. What do you say? Why do you say it? Where does it come from? Is it truth and is it in love? We grow and we build each other up in love. Each person has a part. What are you growing and building in your life? You've heard me say this many times. Is it your image? Is it a business? Is it your finances? Or is it like Babylon, which is the Tower of Babel and the story of Babylon in the Bible, which God will allow you to build an eternal kingdom of unending magnitude, which is in the opposite direction of truth and life. We are to build who up? Each other, others, support people, love people, encourage people, sacrifice for people, be generous for others. That's loving, not only in word, but in deed. What are you building? We are to build each other up. Part of being a part of the body of Christ is to be built up. Some of us like to do the building up of others, huh? Yeah. I'll help you, I'll help you, I'll help you, I'll help you, I'll help you. But you don't help me. I don't need to be built up, I'm already built up. That's not true. If you're a part of the body, you also need to be helped and to be built up. What are you growing? What are you investing in? This is why we try to create environments as a church all the time for people to connect in relationship, to grow, to become more well and peaceable in relationship, to help and be helped by others, to love and be loved by others, to be patient and long-suffering and gentle and kind, the application of the fruit of the Spirit, that we would love each other with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what it means to be a people that are the called out ones, that are different, is committed to being and doing those things, because that's how you will become well and whole and purposeful and have joy with other people. The vast majority of this text is not an individual command. It is a communal invitation. Parents out there, you got parents? How do you feel when your kids are sick? You're like, I'm great. I feel great. So bad that they're vomiting in the toilet, but I'm pretty good. Like, that's hard, right? When other people aren't well, you should not be well. Right? When other people are well, you should be well. That should excite you. When you see other people healed, other people changed, other people feeling loved, other people finding purpose and value, and because that's an effort that you have given, because God gave that effort to you first, that is life in wholeness and wellness and maturity and purpose. And the opposite is true as well. When you see other people hurting and lacking and living in lies, in bondage and in fear, that should hurt and that should feel and that should be something that you as a part of the body desire to love with. We're only on verse 17. This is how Bible study and your reading should be, by the way, if it's not. Like, this is what we're trying to do. Now, let's be honest. Most small groups are not perfect. They're good. This is what the Word of God should look like every time. You should be able to walk through it and talk about it, pull through it. What's an example? And you tell me about that. You're doing great. Man, that's amazing. You're not doing great. Ah, we grieve for that. Life is living and active in the Word of God. We could be here for hours, but we're only going to be here for a couple more minutes for this morning. So I tell you this and insist on the Lord. You must not live any longer as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God. Notice how it doesn't say separated from God. It says from the life that God offers, the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. No longer live the way you used to. Here's what I put in your notes. Do so no more, period. Stop. Make a decision. Quit. Move. Change. Start something new. Try. Persevere. Do not do that anymore. Right? Is that easy? No. Is it a decision? Does God invite you to make those decisions? Yes. How often? All day, every day, as long as you have life. Paul very clearly here says, and multiple times in the text, choose not to do that. It's a story of Cain and Abel. Yet again, sin and death will sit and crouch by your door. You have to choose to master it. because you can in Christ. Now, does that mean you can every time and you're going to do it perfectly and there's not going to be consequences and we're not going to have scars? No. Don't look for the excuses, but look for the part that's there. That's why we need who? Each other, to carry each other's burdens and to walk with each other. But part of it, Paul says here and multiple times in the text, choose not to live that way anymore. Don't think that way. Don't believe that way. Don't embrace that way. Don't speak that way. Don't talk that way. Don't be that way. Don't be that way anymore. Put that off. Or not. Or not. The choice is yours. He says, in futile thinking, they're darkened in their mind without life and ignorant from a hardened heart. Their thinking is off and darkened because of what? A hardened heart. So it's a hard heart that darkens your eyes in the way you think, in what you perceive, in how you speak, and how you act. It's a condition of a heart. The motivation of the will of a human, the center of you in your heart, is that which causes us to think wrongly and falsely and darkly and ignorantly and negatively. It's a heart condition that leads to a mind condition. Paul says we can renew our minds. It's a possibility to renew the way that we think, the way that we believe. And that happens from a change of heart, which is hopefully the response to the gospel message of a life laid down for a life given for you. How do you think? What are you looking for? What are you focusing on? Are you choosing to be ignorant because you have a hard heart from past hurt or failure that somebody has done or that you have done to somebody else? Are you choosing to build a hardened heart which will affect the way you think and speak? Are you choosing to be unwell and broken and not complete by a hardened heart, by sin's deceitfulness? Maturity is wellness and peace, and the condition of our hearts will lead to the wellspring that comes out of what we say and live and think. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, for they are full of greed. Sensitivity is this concept of callousness. When you lose sensitivity, you become calloused. When you become calloused, the definition is that you cease to feel pain or grief. Who likes to feel pain and grief? The interesting part is that God talks about that in a positive connotation. That the way in which you will find life and joy and wellness is actually being able to feel pain and grief. That a calloused, hardened heart is running from that, is hiding from that, is not seeing that in other people, is actually being sensitive. Next time somebody calls you sensitive, say thank you. Thank you. And feel it. Do you think God felt creation? Do you think God felt? He did. Even becoming the flesh. God knows how you feel. He knows what you've been through. He embodies it. He walks with it. There's nothing that you will ever go through that he never experienced fully. Emotions, sensitivity that God went through. A person of maturity is sensitive. They're lacking, or they're not calloused. Soft heart, sensible, willing to sit in it with other people. For what purpose? To love, to help, to build up. Person that does not have maturity indulges in sensuality and impurity, unbridled lust, excess, in shamelessness. Period. Trying to find life in death. A person that lacks wellness will try to be well through those means. How are you finding life? That, however, is not the way of the life you learn, which you heard about in Christ. We were taught in him accordance with the truth. That is in Jesus. Four words on this one. Learn. Choose to be taught, grow, and change. Humility is going to be required to learn, to be taught, to be changed. True? All of us need to learn, to grow, to change. You were taught, there is again, with regard to your former way of life, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Make new the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We just talked about that. Put off the old ways. How? You need to give effort, make decisions. Be made new. New thinking, new life, new ways. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Reject lies, speak truth. Don't replay your lies. You need to speak truth to ourselves and to others. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give a devil a foothold. We're good with that one. We'll move on. We'll go back. Okay. In your anger, do not sin. Go ahead and get mad. Be mad. Get mad. Don't sin. Right? You get angry. Get angry. Get mad. In your anger, do not miss the mark. Do not act unbecomingly. Don't speak lies. Don't hate. Don't hurt. All those things. Get mad and then be under control. That's another part of the fruit of the Spirit, is be self-controlled. Feel. Have sensibility. Have feelings and emotions. Be upset over things that grieve. Hopefully the things you get upset on are the things that God gets upset on. In your anger, don't miss. Don't sin. And then in your anger, be mad. Be mad. Don't stay mad. Right? A person of wellness and maturity is a person that embraces feelings and emotions. They get upset, they get mad, but they don't get ruined and controlled by their anger and emotions. Be mad, don't sin. Be mad, don't stay mad. Right? Check. Good. Okay. Yeah. We do a whole series on that one. Okay. Maturity is self-control. Anyone who's been stealing must no longer steal. Okay? Stop stealing. Not very many laughs there. That's probably hitting a little closer to home than maybe I thought. But stop breaking the law, okay? Don't steal. It's not good for you or anybody else. Must work. Do something useful with their own hands. They must have something to contribute, to share with those who are in need. Part of being a part of the body of Christ is to get help, which means to consume, but is also to contribute. Also be a contributor. That was a very important sentence. I wrote this. It took me a long time to write this, okay? I'm going to preface it by saying this. Don't focus on the things that aren't true. Here's not what is being said. Do more. Be better. It's not what it says. Okay? Do what you can that is helpful and useful for others. Okay? Do what you can. Don't do what you can't. Do what you can that helps others. Can every single person in this room do something to help somebody else? Yes. That's the point. Focus on that. Too often, myself included, I focus on all the things that aren't being said, that's not true. What we're not saying is do the things that you're incapable of. I'm not saying do the things that you can't do. I'm not saying do the things you're not gifted at. I'm not saying do the things that you know you can't or you're unable to do. I am saying what Paul's saying is do what you can. For who? Others. Maturity. Maturity. Okay, let's end it. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but is only for helpful for building others up according to their needs. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption to get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice, but be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Only speak that which is valuable and has worth. That is the definition of unwholesome. The simple understanding of that is don't cuss and speak vulgarly. That's not helpful or valuable, is it? Is that uplifting for others? Some of us are like, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, because they won't listen unless I say it like that. How many times? How many times? You're like, wow, you know, might be truthful, but it's definitely not loving. Only speak that which is uplifting and valuable that can bring, ready, wellness and peace to another person. Vulgar language does not do that. And even if somebody tells you that it does, they're wrong. Okay? When somebody says, you need to speak to me like that is false. Do not accept that as an okay answer to keep doing things that are not life-giving, that are hurtful to other people. The invitation here is to speak life and truth and love, which is valuable and uplifting, which brings joy, which is a grace-giving attribute that God gives you. That is what a unified, mature body does to and for each other, right? Speak wellness and peaceable things to others. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. You're like, wow, that's actually true. Not for me. Ha, 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 truth, 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 truth. You're going to remember that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but glorify him by choosing to be content over being bitter. Choose joy over rage, to be calm instead of angry, to choose peace over fighting and praise over slander, to be people of benevolence over people of malice. It's what a unified body of Christ looks like that chooses to grow in maturity. Good stuff from the Word of God, huh? We're gonna need each other. You're gonna need other people to grow and work that out. It's true for all of us. I was talking to a good friend before this message. A couple of them, actually. I got two friends, right? And we were talking about how a lot of people in their immaturity won't change. And they only do what they like. And they'll go anywhere and everywhere to find a self-fulfilling, life-giving situation. And you can't find it. You'll never find it. And so we want to invite you to be a part of a community here that's not perfect, that you may not like, that may not be super nice to you all the time, that might not be your best friends. And if you don't like us, go somewhere else. I mean that. The church is not to just be your friends all the time. It's to give you life, to walk together. I've said this 1,000 times and I'll say it 1,000 more as long as I'm alive. The people that I love and care about most are those that actually care about me. They'll say what I need to hear. They'll do it in love. They'll help pull in this direction with me and for me. I don't always like it, but I do love it because it what leads me to Jesus and to life. I want to continue to grow and change, to experience and have the life that God offers. And we get that through each other. And sometimes, yeah, I'm the beneficiary of it. I get to consume it and I need it, but man, I'm hoping that I give it as much as I take it. The unified body of Christ, the entirety of this series is to hopefully end up as a people that choose to do this consistently and constantly, that we would have a firm foundation of our faith, that we would be the hope that the world needs, how we speak and how we live and what we choose to do. It's the journey that brings us life, and we get the destination eternally with Jesus. Amen? All right.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.